We have a short time in the Word of God. We have some conversation before we ever start, and then, of course, we get down to taking requests and praying. And for so many, and for myself as well, I've heard it said over and over, this is the highlight of my week, to be able to pray with the men. And so it's a real blessing. And to be able to sing with you tonight, that was a great blessing. All right, Brother Ouellette, great to have you here. We're already on day three. It's going by fast. Turning it over to you, brother.
Thank you for being a blessing to us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, preacher. Thanks for coming to church. This is a great Tuesday night crowd. How many have been here every weeknight service so far? Man, you only got one night to go. Don't mess it up. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Hey, what would you do if you knew you're about to die? Jesus knows. A few days, a few hours. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Wait a minute. Jesus has just received all power from God the Father. God has put all things into his hands. That's why he could say, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. What would you do if you could do anything you wanted? If you had all power? Well, we'll see what Jesus does. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe their feet with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Hey, watch out if you think you're smarter than Jesus.
Yep.
Watch out if you think God is doing something wrong. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter, if you'll just hang in there a little bit, it'll make sense. I wonder how many times the Lord says that to us. You don't know what I'm doing now, but you'll know in a little bit. We'll understand it better, the old song says, by and by. Peter said unto him, okay, Lord. No, he didn't. Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter said unto him, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. So after he'd washed their feet, and had taken the garments, his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me the Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. But I have given ye an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye. Is that what it says? Yeah. Is that all it says? If ye know these things, happy are ye, say it with me, if ye do them. This is not part of the sermon. Joy in the Christian life never comes from knowing truth. It always comes from living truth. That's the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount at the end. Lord Jesus said, if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, you're like a man that built his house on a rock. But if you heard every word and don't do it, you're like a man that built his house on the sand. Lord, please guide me and empower me and strengthen me by your Spirit, that I may say everything and all the things that you want said and nothing else. And do draw us to yourself in a special and real way tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. Notice in our story there is a servant. He is superior to them. He's the Lord and Master. He is sovereign. All things are placed into his hand, and he's the Savior. In a few hours, he is to shed his blood as the payment for the sins of the entire world. But notice the service. The service the Lord Jesus rendered was revolting. He washed their feet. Now, not a great thing today to wash somebody's feet. But in Bible times, they wore sandals, no socks. And there were no sewers. And all that junk ran out in the roads. And it was pretty bad. Nasty thing to wash somebody's feet. It was revolting. It was a service that was not only revolting, it was reserved for the lowest of slaves. There were many slaves who never had to wash anybody's feet. They were a slave, but they were above that. It was the nastiest, lowest job reserved for the lowest of servants. But it was required. The Jewish Encyclopedia says, the washing of feet is among the most ancient as well as the most obligatory of the rites of Eastern hospitality. To omit was a sign of marked unfriendliness. The first duty of the host was to give water for the washing of the feet. It needed to be done. It had to be done. It was obligatory. The service was revolting. It was reserved for the lowest slave. It was required. But then notice this. The Bible takes some pain. The Spirit of God goes to some detail to tell us that there was a removal. The Lord Jesus laid aside his garment, and he took a towel. And he washed their feet and wiped them with that towel. But notice not only the servant and the service. Notice those served. Among these disciples is one who is going to doubt the Lord Jesus. He misses prayer meeting. Don't miss prayer meeting. Be here tomorrow night. You'll miss ice cream if you don't come. And Jesus shows up after his crucifixion. He's risen from the grave. And Thomas said, yeah, I don't believe it. I don't care what you say. If I can't put my fingers in the holes in his hand and thrust my hand up the wound in his side, I will not believe. I'd have understood of the Lord Jesus, said Thomas, not you. You doubter. You'll be known for the rest of Christian history as Doubting Thomas. You sit this one out. There's one who would deny him. Simon Peter, have I not chosen you 12? You're all gonna be offended because of me before the night's over. Oh, Lord, not me, Peter said. Though all men should offend, be offended because you don't deny you, I'll never deny you. Peter essentially said, Lord, I'm the best Christian in the world. I'm the last one who would ever deny you. But he did. 3 times. Once with an oath. I never knew him. I would have understood. Jesus said, Peter, you're not included. In fact, after the resurrection, Peter thought he wasn't included. I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to the old way of life. The Lord Jesus knew what Peter was thinking. And he said, look, I'm risen from the dead, and I want you to go tell my disciples and Peter. Because if he just said his disciples, Peter would have said, oh, that doesn't include me. I'm no longer a disciple. The Lord could have said, Peter, not you. But he washed the feet of one who would doubt him, one who would deny him. He washed the feet of one who in just a few hours would be in the most awful way imaginable disloyal to him. Judas Iscariot. For 30 pieces of silver. About $4,500. That's not nothing. It's not much to betray the Lord Jesus for. And I think the Lord could have said, Judas, the devil's in you. You're going to betray me. You're going to be terribly disloyal. I'm not washing your feet. But he didn't. Wash the feet of Thomas who would doubt him, Peter would deny him, Judas would be disloyal to him. And then, notice the significance. The Lord Jesus said, look, this was an example. I've done this for you. I want you to do this for each other. And he gave him the exhortation. If I, then your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Well, that's it. You want potatoes? I didn't answer that one question. What's that question? So what? Did you know that when a preacher stands up, if he does not apply the truth he hasn't preached, he's taught you. The word preach, the Greek word kairos, is the word for the king's herald. And when the king's herald came by, he wasn't telling you the weather. He wasn't giving you the latest news. He always called you to action, to some decision. So here's some statements. Number one, we must take the initiative in serving. Now, Jesus and the disciples together, nobody else there. No host, far as we can tell. And it's necessary that their feet be washed. And they've already eaten supper. And none of them have washed their feet. Now, they all knew it needed to be done. They all knew it was an obligatory part of their behavior, of their tradition, of their culture, of sanitation. Nobody did it. Hey, Peter, you're a hot shot. You're always jumping up. You're gonna cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest servant, in a little bit. Why don't you wash the disciples' feet? Come on, John. Jesus loves you best, you think. Tells you things he doesn't tell the other disciples. Why don't you wash their feet? Andrew, you're a good helper. You brought Simon Peter, your brother, to Jesus. You brought the lad's lunch to Jesus. Why don't you help now? Nobody does it. So Jesus does it. You know what happens in a church like this sometimes? Preacher says, we need some Sunday school teachers. If you're interested, let me know. And God says, you can do that. And you say, well, he hadn't asked me. He didn't talk to me about it. If he came and asked me personally, if he gave me a silver tray with an engraved invitation that had gilded edges, then maybe I'd help. Well, I know they said you're having a work day, but nobody asked me if I'd come. Now, I have some particular abilities. Nobody asked if they'd be involved. I got an idea. Why don't you just volunteer? Why don't you just get up and wash their feet? We must take the initiative in serving. I preached this sermon for the first time for Mark Wilkerson, John Wilkerson's brother. A church in Rantoul, Illinois, small church, much, much smaller than this. He'd been there about 20 years, good man, faithful man, good church. On Sunday morning, he said, Brother Ouellette, I won't be there when you get there. I got to pick some people up. After church, he said, I want to take you to lunch. He said, I got to run these people home, then I got to come back, and I'm going to lock the doors and turn the lights off. And then I'll take you to lunch. I said, all right. Now, they were good people, weren't bad people. But I said to them, I wonder, would it be better if the preacher could, after the service, greet the visitors or give somebody a ride home? Wonder if it'd be better if he could counsel somebody or lock the doors or turn the lights off and ask them a question. Is there anybody here who could do this? I know it's complicated. The instructions are rather detailed with the index finger and thumb of the right hand extended and joined. Grasp the switch, moving it in a perpendicular manner. I said, is there anybody here who can do this? Your buildings are nice, they're well kept, they're a good testimony. Can I tell you something? There should never be a scrap of paper anywhere on the grounds of the Cornerstone Baptist Church. And it shouldn't wait until whoever's cleaning that week comes by.
Right.
Nah, if you see the paper, pick it up. Somebody drops paper towels on the floor in the restroom, pick them up, put them in the trash can. You'll live. You can always wash your hands afterwards. And the odds are whoever dropped them had washed their hands before they used them. We must take the initiative in serving. Statement number two, we must be willing to lay aside anything that interferes with our service. Jesus took off his garment and put on a towel. The garment was not sinful. In fact, he put it back on afterwards. It just got in the way of service. I don't know what leadership requirements your pastor has. I have a hunch he doesn't want Sunday school teachers to be at the bar on Saturday night. Now that'd be sinful. But in any church, there are some things that are asked for people in service that may not be sinful, may not be evil, may not be wrong. And we have people saying, bless God, nobody's gonna tell me what I can do and cannot do. Nobody's telling me how I gotta dress. Nobody's gonna tell me what kind of music I gotta listen to. Nobody's telling me whether or not I do this or that in worldly amusements and entertainment. I have individual soul liberty. You do. But that liberty can be used to take off the garment and put on a towel just as readily as it can be used to leave your garment on and show that you're in charge. I don't go to movies. Never been to a movie in my life. When I grew up, Christians didn't go to movies. Now, I know there are Christians that go to movies these days. And to be honest, Hollywood is way cleaner now than it was when I was a boy. And we asked the students in our school not to go to movies. Teachers, choir members, deacons, workers don't go to movies. So we had a young lady one time, had two daughters. Her husband had left her. She was depressed, discouraged. Daughter's having a tough time in the public school. And I was visiting with her. And I said, look, I'll tell you what. You pay for the books and the registration fee. And I'll see to it you have free tuition for your two daughters at Bridgeport Baptist Academy. You know what she said? Well, we go to movies. I said, is it that big of a deal? You could have free tuition for two kids for a year? Please tell me what movie is worth that. I'm not arguing whether you should go to movies or not. If you're nervous about it, that's between you and God. I'm just saying, whatever you think about it, it's not a bad deal to set that aside. We must lay aside anything that interferes with our service. Statement number three. No work should be beneath us. I graduated from college at 20 years old. Got married on a Saturday, started work the next Thursday as an assistant pastor. Man, I was wearing a suit and tie to work. I had my 4-year college diploma. And the preacher said, I take Mondays off, why don't you take Tuesdays off? I said, yes, sir. Now he said, when you come in on Monday, go to all the classrooms, gather all the trash, and burn it over here. We didn't even have a burn barrel, we had a burn spot. And I'm gathering that trash in my suit and tie and burning that stuff, and the wind blows it away, and I gotta go grab it and get my clothes dirty. Thinking, good night. I went to college 4 years so I could burn trash. We had a basement in that church and dehumidifiers under the steps. And it was back in the old days where they had like a bucket, they were a shallow pan. Preacher said, when you get done burning the trash, empty the dehumidifier. And I'm crawling under the steps, banging my head, sloshing water on my shoes. Thinking, this is ridiculous, I'm a college graduate. I go to work in a shirt and tie. And I had a bad attitude. One day the Spirit of God said to me, well, who do you think ought to do this job? Just me and the pastor. That's all there was. You know what I needed to do? I needed to take a towel. Lay aside my garment, my pride, my pretense, my self-importance, and take a towel. A preacher ran for years in Maryland. He's retired now, lives in Florida. His name was Lou Dicciacchio. I believe he had me every year because I could pronounce his name. And he always kept me at a Super 8 motel. And it was not very super. Hard bed, dirty floors, no elevator. And I stayed there. One year he said, brother Willette, I had a man come through and say that I should put my guests in a nicer motel. That I shouldn't keep them in the Super 8. I said, brother Dicciacchio, I don't know who he is and I don't want you to tell me. But don't invite him back. I have once the Apostle Paul stayed someplace almost as bad as a Super 8 once or twice. No, I don't know who that guy was, but I know what he needed to do. Years ago, walking down the hallway of our church holding a plunger. One of our members saw me and they said, "Brother Ouellette, Pastor, what are you doing?" Brilliant question. I said, eating ice cream. And get about a half gallon in there, you know. I said I was plunging out a toilet. And then he asked another equally intelligent question. He said, "Why were you doing that?" Well, I heard it's good aerobic exercise. Move the arms, get the heart pumping. I said, "Because it was plugged up." Now, he wasn't asking why I was doing that. He was asking why I was doing that. We had a staff, we had maintenance people. Well, I dare you to ever be able to find the maintenance guy when you need him. I don't know what he's doing. It may be perfectly valid, but he's not around. And it's way easier just to grab the plunger and clean out the toilet than find the maintenance guy. No work should be beneath us. A man came to see me one day. He popped in the office. "Brother Ouellette, I just moved to town. I worked in the bus ministry at Lee Robertson. Worked in the bus ministry at Jack Isles. I'd like to serve in your church." I said, "Okay." He said, "What can I do?" I said, "Well, you can work in the bus ministry." And his face fell. He said, "Oh." Well, he said, "That's not what I had in mind." Well, I said, "What did you have in mind?" He said, "I thought I could be your assistant pastor." Never met the guy in my life. I said, "Well, we got one of those. You come on Sunday, I'll find you a place in the bus ministry." Never showed up. A few months later, I'm preaching at a real small church, a church of about 30. And there he is. And he bustles up all important. "Hello, Brother Ouellette, I'm the assistant pastor here." "Well, good for you. You've got less people in this old church than you could add on your bus route." He wasn't looking to serve. He was looking to be somebody. He wasn't looking for a task. He was looking for a title. He needed to take a towel. No work should be beneath us. A guy called one time, a secretary called. He's coming to preach for us. "Now, when Dr. So-and-so comes, he'd like you to keep him in a Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. He's saving the points for his family vacation." Well, number one, the people who paid for the room get the points. You probably got a number in, don't you? Choice Hotel's number in there. If you didn't, I'd put mine in, but it'd never take yours out. You're paying the bill. I know, because they didn't take my credit card. Number two, you don't get to call me and tell me which hotel you want to stay at. I'd put him in a Spring Hill Suites. And I do hope that dear brother enjoyed his final visit at the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. He wasn't a bad man. He was a good preacher. Gone a different direction now, but what he needed to do was take a towel. We must take the initiative in serving. We must lay aside anything that interferes with our service. No work should be beneath us, number four. No one should be beneath us. Not one who doubt, not one who deny, not one who be disloyal, no one. Some people will do anything for God, but they won't do it with anybody. I went to the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. There's a lady there named Thelma Lambert. She was not what you would call a classy lady. She ran the nursery, and what she did, if a baby cried, she would take a bottle out of the mouth of another baby and put it into the mouth of the crying baby. Very effective, try it. Now, whatever illness they had, they all had the same one at the same time. She would come in and talk to me. And she'd go on and on and on and tell me every detail about every problem. I'd say, well, Thelma, what can I do about that? How can I help you? Oh, Pastor, I just wanted you to know what I'm going through so you could pray intelligently. One day, Thelma Lambert said, Pastor, I bought you a book for Christmas. Well, thank you, Thelma, that's very nice. She said, I'm going to give it to you as soon as I finish reading it. And she did. And I could tell what snacks she was eating. She irritated me. I shuddered. I heard her voice on the telephone. Now, Thelma Lambert was an original member of First Baptist Church. Our church started meeting in 1950, organized in 52, and did not have their own building till 1963. She was there when there was no choir. There was no youth program. There was no piano player. There was no special music. And First Baptist Church of Bridgeport would not be what it was today if there hadn't been some Thelma Lamberts in the early days. And I was never worthy to pastor the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport. But I didn't come close until I could love and appreciate and be grateful for Thelma Lambert. No one should be beneath us. Dave Pearson had a fifth-degree black belt in karate. He operated the largest Christian karate school in the United States. He trained 75 people to be black belts, law enforcement, military, and he thought he had a great marriage. One day his wife, Skip, kissed him goodbye as he went to work, gave him a lunch, had a love note in it. He got back to discover that two moving trucks had been waiting around the corner for him to leave. And his wife, Skip, had taken the entire contents of the house and their two children, Glenn and Dawn, and had left. No explanation. No indication where she was. Sometime later, she called and said, I need some money. He gave her twice what she asked for. A little while after that, she said, I need a car. He bought her a brand new car, dropped it off where she wanted it, left the keys under the mat. 1 year to the day, she repented, came back, said, I want to work on things. She did, and then a year later, she left again. This time, the children were found in a motel room with nooses around their necks. Placed in the foster care system was months before Dave Pearson found out where they were. She came back again. She left again. She did that four times. The last time she came back, she had two kinds of cancer. And Dave Pearson cared for her until she died. At the funeral, the eulogy was not given by the pastor or another family member, but by Dave himself. He stood up in front of the casket and he said, Skip, I promise to love, honor, and cherish you till death do us part. I've kept my vow. He took off his wedding ring, placed it in the casket, turned to the crowd, said, I've been asked, if I knew then what I know now, would I still have married Skip? The answer is yes. I've learned so much about what love is, what forgiveness is, who Jesus is. I guess you could say Dave Pearson took a towel. Lord, help us to be willing to take the initiative, to lay aside anything that is interfering, to do any work and to do it with anyone. But take a towel. Our kids are about, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I want to ask you to do something a little different tonight. On the front chairs, on each aisle, there's some towels. What I'd like you to do, when I finish praying and we stand, is to come and take a towel. Let it remind you, we must take the initiative in serving. We must lay aside anything that interferes with our service. No work should be beneath us. No one should be beneath us. Lord, help us literally and figuratively, spiritually, to take a towel tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you come, please, and take a towel? You're going to stay at the altar and pray after you're done. You can do that. Going back to your seat, you can do that. May this truth resonate in our heart and soul. And may our towels hang around and remind us we must take the initiative in service. We must lay aside anything that interferes with our service. No work should be beneath us, and no one should be beneath us. Hope it be so, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, two things. I'm out of the little book, Trusting God in Troubled Times. I got a couple left of Says Who. If I run out of anything you'd like, we'll put your name on a paper and I'll mail it to the church and I'll pay the postage. Number two. Now, they used to call French people frogs. It wasn't real pejorative. Some say it's because they lived the other side of the pond. Some said because they had a coat of arms, looked like a frog. But I'm French. And you've got one more night with the frog. Don't miss it.
Thank you for that, Brother Ouellette. Let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and sing that hymn that we've been hearing being played.